Deuteronomy chapter 31, first 8 verses. Then Moses went out and spoke these words to all Israel. I am now 120 years old, and I am no longer able to lead you. The Lord has said to me, you shall not cross the Jordan. The Lord your God himself will cross over ahead of you. He will destroy these nations before you, and you will take possession of their land. Joshua also will cross over ahead of you, as the Lord said, and the Lord will do to them what he did to Sihon and Og, the kings of the Amorites, whom he destroyed along with their land. The Lord will deliver them to you, and you must do to them all that I have commanded you. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them, for the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Then Moses summoned Joshua and said to him in the presence of all Israel, be strong and courageous, for you must go with this people into the land that the Lord swore to their forefathers to give them, and you must divide it among them as their inheritance. The Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged.
So what's our theme then? Our theme, be encouraged. Be encouraged. Well, there we go. That's the theme. That's the sermon. We can pray together, sing our last song and go home. Well, I'm a minister, so, you know, I have to talk a little bit longer than that on the subject. So just a few thoughts. Actually, to start with, just a few pictures. Let's, there we go. That's the title, Be Encouraged. Let's have a look at the first picture, shall we? I've got three pictures of encouragement. I tried to find a picture of a donkey with a carrot and a stick, and I couldn't. All I could find was a picture of a donkey with a bucket in his mouth. But but you get the idea, don't you? These pictures I shall show you are just remind us of encouragement. Do we identify with the donkey sort of encouragement? Are we better with a carrot that we can run after? Or are we better with a sort of stick around our bottom to get us off and get us moving? Are we a carrot or a stick people? Both. Both. It all depends on the time of the day. Well, what it is we need to be encouraged about or encouraged over. Absolutely. Okay, that's a humorous one to start off with. Let's have a look at the next picture. Ah! Well, it looks a bit like that, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're right up on the top of some rocks. They've got very heavy backpacks on, haven't they? This picture is actually called Encouragement. It comes from a series of pictures that are often used for counselling and encouragement and so forth. And I say it's literally called encouragement. Can you see what the encouragement there is? Yeah, well, there's a holding out a hand. So obviously, the person on the right is encouraging the person on the left to do what?
Come over.
To come on over, absolutely. Come on over. Yeah, and it looks like a long drop, doesn't it? Well, that's right. It looks like he won't, but with encouragement, I think he might just do it. Doesn't it very fair? Because the one who's being encouraged has got the heavier pack on as well. So the first one, presumably, could jump across much more easily. But there we go. Encouragement. Yeah. And sometimes life contains those sort of sticky moments and things we don't think we're going to cross. And we just need that person, don't we, to reach out a hand and to encourage us to come on over. It's okay. I'll be there to catch you. I'll help you across. We know we need those people, don't we? We need those times because we do face those sorts of rocky situations where there seems to be a gap between where we're comfortable and where we need to be. Okay, and here's a third picture. What do we think about this one? Where do you think that picture comes from? What do you think is happening? Sorry, am I in your way? I was trying to keep away from the radiator because it's like a greenhouse up here at the minute. I shall take another layer off in a minute. Teamwork? Who said that? Yes, teamwork. That's a sort of a message here, isn't it? So what sort of team do we think it might be? I suppose it could be a sports team, couldn't it? Could be part of the sort of... Although there are eight of them. I don't know what teams go in. Sports teams are in eights, do you? And then... You recognise it's men and women. You can tell that by... I was going to say, these days, you can't really tell necessarily by that, but yeah, I think it's a mixed team, isn't it? Men and women, and also different races, different coloured skin, yeah. Yeah. And can you see what they're doing? They're all coming together. That's right. And in that sense, they're encouraging one another. Let's keep that picture there, shall we, for until the end of the sermon, really. Because that's a good one just to focus upon who we are as God's people. Again, all sorts of different people coming together with that command to encourage each other. When I was looking for encouraging pictures, I could have found dozens and dozens and dozens of them. We could have gone on for the next sort of 15 minutes, 20 minutes just looking at pictures. And perhaps some of you would have liked to have done that. I'm sorry. I've only got the three. And I guess different pictures, different images, different examples will appeal to different ones of us because of our different personalities, our different characters, our different experiences. Now, I'm one of these people who needs a lot of encouragement. I don't really have much self-confidence. And when I say that, people never believe me. People never believe me when I say that really I'm quite shy. I'd rather be sat down or at the back. It's only because I've got to that I stand up in front of people. But really, I'd rather like to sort of shrivel up. And so I need that encouragement. And this time of year, you know, when it gets dark, and it was okay first thing this morning, it was wonderful. But as soon as I turned the front door handle and looked out, and it was, the black clouds had come across, and as soon as I got into the car, it started raining. And then it tipped down and got bleak. Oh, I could feel that sense of wanting just to sort of go in and curl up in a ball come over me. Needed encouragement. Well, it was a thought of coming to meet you this morning that encouraged me. Yet there's been much blessing over the years when I've discovered that actually I'm not alone. And actually most people need a lot of encouragement in lots of situations. We all do, don't we? In all sorts of different situations, and some of us are confident at some things, and some of us are confident at other things. And we have our comfort zones, and when we get outside those comfort zones, we're all a bit lost. Well, I suppose while I'm confessing my own weaknesses, I might as well go the whole hog and say that I'm also get a bit claustrophobic, and I'm also a bit afraid of heights. So back in 2004, I thought, well, I better see if I can do something to tackle this situation. Face on. So I booked a 24-hour flight and went to Sydney in Australia, stayed with some friends for a few weeks and did all those sorts of things that were challenging those phobias I have, trying to encourage me to get over them. I don't think they've cured them for good, but I certainly got through that time. And one of the highlights of that time was to go climbing right up over the top of the Sydney Harbour Bridge, which doesn't look too high until when you're looking from beneath it. But once you get up on top and the wind is blowing, and even on a very hot summer's day, it's actually really quite cold up there. you can realize how terrifying it was. But I did it. And I got this little badge that I can wear. If I had a buttonhole, I'd stick it on, which just says Sydney, Bridge Climb, Sydney. And it's underneath it. I climbed it. I climbed it. So I've got that bit of encouragement. Thank you. That's very kind. I climbed it. And I guess we all need those sort of experiences, don't we? When we can actually say, yes, I was encouraged. I did do it. My friend was there with me. Or more importantly, as we look and we acknowledge God and we say, Lord, you really helped me through that situation. We need to perhaps I should have given out some stickers that we could all have written on. I climbed it. I did it. I achieved it. And we need those times of encouragement to look back on, because we know that whatever we face in the future, that encouragement will be there too. Over the last year, I've been attending a number of training sessions in coaching skills. Now, those people who know me very well will know that I'm not a sports person. So this isn't sports coaching. It's not coaching in football or hockey or rugby or anything like that, or in gymnastics or athletics, nope. It's more personal or group coaching, a bit like life coaching, if you like, or problem-solving coaching. It's not so much about being an expert in a subject, because a bit like, I guess, some of us here will feel, the more we live, the more we realize we don't know about things. So it's not about being an expert, but actually, it's about coming alongside someone else in their journey, asking helpful questions, sort of employing sort of useful strategies or techniques to encourage the person or the group being coached to discover their own potential, or to discover their own solutions to the problem, or to find their own way forward, or to discover that the resources, the many resources that are there for themselves. I found this really encouraging, and I pray over time that this will be encouraging for others too. But I guess most of us, don't we? We recognize that when we've learned something for ourselves, when we've discovered something for ourselves, that's when it's most encouraging of all. It's good to have an encouraging friend, but when we've really got the source of that encouragement and we know who it is who guides us, who it is who walks with us, who it is who upholds us, then we are most encouraged. We prefer to find things out for ourselves, and then the lessons and the fruit from that are so much longer lasting. There are very good reasons why Scripture talks about encouragement a lot. Partly, I guess, because discouragement is so destructive. I don't expect there's a person here who hasn't been discouraged at one time or another in life. Someone just says something, seems so small really when you look at it, but it is devastating. And it takes an awful lot of time, an awful lot of encouragement to turn around again and to be encouraged. I guess the reason why Scripture is so focused upon encouragement is that discouragement is so powerful. There's no discouragement, said the hymn we just sang. And to summarize the rest of the hymn, for those who walk with God, who is their encouragement. We're coming towards Christmas time. Next Sunday is Advent Sunday. Wow. And we will, one of our themes will be, won't it? Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us, alongside us on the journey. Our encouragement. At the heart of encouragement is that little word, isn't it? Courage. Encouragement. Encouragement is about having courage put into us, or taking into ourselves encouragement. Like breathing in encouragement, and so that encouragement is now inside us. That courage is now inside us. But not surprisingly, when you come to look at words, in the word in the New Testament that's often translated encouragement isn't so much to do with courage. A little understanding of New Testament Greek helps, I think. The word translated as encouragement in the New Testament is paraklesis. It's got that sort of it's one of those two-part words. And those of you who are familiar with John chapter 14 will recognize this word comes up again there, doesn't it? The paraclete, the comforter, the one that comes alongside, the presence of God. Para, alongside, the one who comes as the enabler, the help. We use that word para, don't we, in English quite a lot. like parachurch, a parachurch organization, for example, being one that isn't part of a church but comes alongside the church and helps. I guess a bit like Scripture Union or all sorts of other groups. Parachurch, para, alongside. And then the second part, paraklesis, or, well, it's connected with the word kallo in Greek, to call, kallio, to call. The one who is called, the one who's called alongside. And so it's about the one who comes alongside. And you can see why it's translated as encourager, can't you? But it's also it can also be translated in other ways, as the one who exhorts, the one who preaches, the one who encourages, the one who comforts, the one who counsels. So it helps us to just think a bit more about this word encouragement, what it means, about the one who comes alongside and helps. And Jesus, as we've said, when he's encouraging his disciples before he departs from them, says that his Father will send the one that he promised that they were waiting for, the comforter, the assistant, the advocate, the one who brings comfort and consolation, the one who will prophesy, bring admonition, and so forth. It's all about the filling and the overflowing of the Spirit of God, giving the resources, planting courage within the heart to enable the God-given task to be accomplished. Be encouraged. Be encouraged. Well, our reading was from Deuteronomy chapter 31. And in this passage, in different words now, but the same idea, the same thought is there, about having courage. Here we have Moses encouraging Joshua and encouraging the people of God. Moses knew the power of encouragement. If you remind yourself of the beginning of the story of Moses, particularly the time when he's called by God, he's very timid. He's very slow in coming forwards. When God selects him to go before Pharaoh with that message, "Let my people go," Moses is full of excuses. He'd rather not. So he needed the encouragement from God, which he got. The power from God, which he got. And someone alongside him, which he got. And his brother, Aaron. So when Moses comes towards the end of his life, when Joshua is selected to lead the people into the promised land, he's well aware that encouragement is needed. It's a big task. We were hearing very early on, weren't we, when John was giving the announcements, and we had like the glimpse of the picture of the big journey as a church you're about to embark upon, after all this prayer and much prayer now to go, and now the big task of having to find the resources, or find the rest of the resources, because so much of the resources has come in the land and the vision and so forth. But I thought, as I was looking at the picture and saw the fence post there, I just hope that's not the zeros in what you need to to raise. I suddenly realised that was the fence post, that's right. But a big task. And one of the things you'll need along the journey is that constant encouragement. That constant encouragement. That encouragement will come when you know that you're travelling alongside what God is leading you into. When God is alongside you. Not just when God's behind you pushing you. Not just when God's ahead of you guiding you. But when God is alongside you as your encourager. Well, to underline the point, Moses says to the people, "Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified. For the Lord your God, goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. In other words, be encouraged for the task ahead. And to their leader, Joshua, Moses speaks directly the same message. Be strong and courageous, for you must go with this people into the land that the Lord swore to their forefathers to give them. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Be encouraged with God as your encourager. This year is what year? 2009? I promised you a little bit of history, didn't I? Well, it's 400 years since the first identifiable Baptist church was founded. Well, I say it was 400 years ago. This small group of English believers first practiced believers' baptism. It's in 2009, probably the early part of the year, in Amsterdam, where these people had fled for safety at a time when it was dangerous to be free-thinking Christians, to read the Bible for yourself and to work out what it means to be a church for yourself and to worship apart from the state church, the parish church. So this group had gone to Amsterdam and they'd formed this church community and they practiced believers' baptism, the first Baptist church. Unfortunately, not on English soil. They were in Amsterdam, meeting in a bakehouse on the side of one of the canals there. But what's remarkable about this little group was they'd actually formed a few years earlier, actually in Lincolnshire. They met at Gainsborough. They were led by a man named John Smith. And it's not the believer's baptism that first marks them out as a church, following God's ways, following the New Testament pattern and model of a church. It's the fact that they sought to encourage one another. It's the fact that they sought to follow what Scripture was telling them, to follow the New Testament pattern, to follow those verses that we've already shared earlier on. Encourage one another daily, as long as it's called today, Hebrews 3:13, or again later on in Hebrews, this is the verse we used earlier. Let's not give up meeting together. They could have done, couldn't they? Because of the hardship and the persecution they were suffering, the threat of being thrown into prison or being executed. No, do not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let's encourage one another. Or as Paul encourages the church at Thessalonica. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. Do you want to just put the next slide on? Because that just is the summary, really. Encourage one another. This little church was founded upon their wanting to encourage each other. And they worded a covenant which they made together, a promise, a set of promises they made together. And this is more or less the words of that first covenant. We covenant with God and with one another to walk in all his ways, made known or to be made known unto us according to our best endeavors, whatsoever it shall cost us. Look at the effort they were going to put into that. You know, whatever it would cost, our best endeavor to walk together, to encourage each other according to God's ways, according to God's plan, in those ways that he's already made known and in those ways yet to be made known. And I guess your meeting next week will have that sort of part to it, won't it? About where's the journey going on now? What's now to be revealed of God's purpose and God's plan for you as a church. May our deliberate intention as churches of Jesus Christ who follow in the footsteps of these pioneers 400 years ago be just as Jesus and the first apostles and the early churches encourage us. May our deliberate intention be to encourage one another to the same extent in all his ways, made known or to be made known, according to our best endeavours, whatsoever it shall cost us. Encourage one another. That surely is the key to being encouraged ourselves. Be encouraged. Encourage one another. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you come alongside us by your Spirit to be our encourager. We thank you for the encouragement you give us day by day. We thank you for the encouragement you give us through each other, through friends, through those who reach out to help us. Lord, we know we need encouragement. And we know that you know we need encouragement. But help us, we pray, Heavenly Father, not to be so focused upon ourselves that we forget the challenge that you lay before us to encourage one another. Help us to take the courage to reach out a hand to help another across that void, that difficulty. Lord, give us the courage to offer the hospitality or the friendship or the gifts. Give us the courage, Lord, to offer ourselves to someone else when they need a companion, when they need company, when they need a friend. And Lord, together, just like that picture with the different people of all sorts stood round in a circle with their hands into the centre. May, Lord, with you at the centre, may we continue to encourage one another, for we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.